Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the Catholic Church's opposition to contraception is back in the news today as the church, including the New York Archdiocese, has filed a lawsuit against the Obama administration for including contraception coverage as a required feature for the health care plans of all women, including those who work for church-related organizations. The lawsuit follows the Vatican's public takedown of American nuns for being too soft, as Rome sees it, on the church's positions on sexuality and the ordination of women, and too focused on poverty and social justice issues. We are very happy to have with us now Sister Mary Johnson, a member of the Sisters of Notre Dame del Namur and professor of sociology and religious studies at Emmanuel College in Boston, and Jesuit priest James Martin, author of The Jesuit Guide to Almost Everything and Between Heaven and Mirth, Why Joy, Humor, and Laughter are at the Heart of Spiritual Life. And Tell Garrison Keillor, the book even includes Lutheran jokes. You may know Father James also from his appearances as the unofficial chaplain of the Colbert Report, appearing in that role several times. So, Father James Martin, Sister Mary Johnson, welcome to WNYC.
Great to be here.
Great to be here with you, Brian.
Sister Mary, by way of background, who are American nuns these days? I read that the average age of a nun in this country now is 65 years old. Do you think that's true?
Well, I have been on sabbatical this year at the Center for Applied Research in the Apostolate at Georgetown University, and I've been working with two other sociologists, Sister Pat Whitberg at Indiana University and Mary Gauthier at CARA, to write a book about this very question of who are American sisters and who's coming to the sisterhoods across the United States. So if we look at the age figure alone, I find that that doesn't tell us a lot. American society's aging. The church, on some dimensions, is aging. What I'm most interested in is the 1,000 or so women who've entered religious life in the last several years who have not made their final vows yet. And when we look at that number, we see that about half have gone to the congregations that are members of the Leadership Conference of Women Religious, and about half have gone to the Council of Major Superiors of Women Religious. So those data dispel some of the myths that are out there now and that are gaining currency in certain quarters in the church and beyond.
In other words, you're saying this is not a dying calling in the United States. Is that your point?
Absolutely right, Brian.
Father Jim, the Vatican said the largest organization of American nuns, one of the two who Sister Mary just referred to, the Leadership Conference of Women Religious, which includes tens of thousands of American nuns, is falling into what the Vatican called radical feminism, and that they're too concerned with social justice and poverty issues compared to the church's teachings on sexuality. What's your understanding of what that's all about?
Well, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith did a, as you say, a doctrinal assessment of the Leadership Conference, and they are primarily concerned with the way that the Leadership Conference is dealing with theological questions. And as you say, one of the critiques is that they haven't been spending enough time, the word they used is silent, on issues of sexuality while spending, I would say, too much time, that's what the Vatican says, on issues of social justice. So that's one of their concerns, the concern about what they call radical feminism, as well as some of the addresses at their national conferences. So that's what the assessment is looking at.
Sister Mary, are you a member of the Leadership Conference of Women Religious?
Orders, the leadership of religious orders are members of the Leadership Conference of Women Religious. So I am in an order whose leadership is part of the LCWR.
And what's your own reaction to what the Vatican came out with?
I think that my study this year has caused me to focus with the two co-authors on all the good of American sisterhoods and their impact both on American society and global society. So I was surprised at the tone of the report. And I am making a plea here and elsewhere for a deeper demographic analysis of what is truly going on.
What do you mean by a deeper demographic analysis in relation to the church's critique?
Well, I believe that when I think back of my own childhood and adolescence, that the sisterhoods took the call of the Second Vatican Council very seriously, and the call was to renew religious life, to make it relevant to modern-day society. And as I was in grammar school and high school, I really saw that evolution before my eyes. The sisters were both marvelous teachers, and they were deeply committed to the local parish and to the neighborhood and city beyond the convent gates. And I believe that their work at that time caused a lot of us to think about religious life, and it's clear from the data today that that call from God through the witness of the sisters continues for really two levels of Catholic women. One would be in their 20s who are thinking about religious life right now out of college and in their early work careers. Others are in their 40s who've had several years of educational background plus work experience who are now asking for what's called the more. They're at a point in their lives when they're saying they'd like to do more with their life, and they're really feeling the spiritual impulse in their own heart and in the wider church and in the society.
So I really
feel that we've got to complexify this more, that it's not a simplistic analysis that serves the church well at this point.
So Father Jim, Sister Mary referenced Vatican II. Do you think today's conservative church has just moved on at the level of the hierarchy from the majority of American nuns who came to the calling in the Pope John the 23rd era of the 1960s, the Vatican II era, with maybe different priorities than the church leadership in Rome has today?
I think that's a very good question. I would say that the leadership in the Vatican, interprets Vatican II differently. I think what needs to be said is this, as Sister Mary was alluding to. The Second Vatican Council asked sisters to renew and to update, and they took those documents seriously. And they were asked to return to the sort of founding documents of their founders and foundresses, and found out that they were supposed to be doing different things than what they were doing in the 1950s. So they really were being faithful to the church. And I think what's happened is that there has been a shift. There's been a shift in the church, and the Leadership Conference of Women Religious, which has been very, I think in a good way, experimental and trying to sort of push the boundaries of things, is now coming under fire. As one of my sister friends said, when you work on the margins, you sometimes step out of bounds. And I think this is what they're finding. But I think it's really important to say that these sisters are to my mind, faithful and good and holy women. And I think so many of them were really discouraged and demoralized by this doctrinal assessment.
We're talking about the tension between the Vatican and American nuns with Sister Mary Johnson, a member of the sisterhood and also a professor of sociology and religious studies at Emmanuel College in Boston, and Jesuit priest James Martin, author of books including Between Heaven and Mirth, Why Joy, Humor, and Laughter Are at the Heart of Spiritual Life. Sister, few nuns have spoken publicly since the Vatican statement. Why did you decide to come forward today? And are you afraid of getting in trouble, even as gently as you have put your critique here this morning?
Because I am writing the book with Sister Pat and Mary, I feel, and we are using data that was collected from several hundred religious orders of women in the United States, and the initial report was distributed in the year 2009 for the service of the entire church. I feel that speaking from these data is a help to the conversation right now. I'm a data-driven sociologist, and in the midst of a tremendous flurry, in fact, it's been sociologically fascinating to see the multiple levels of reaction to the announcement from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. I think it's important at this point to insert true numbers into the conversation to see what this can lead to. It certainly has already prompted many in the church and outside the church to relook at the lives and works of women religious. I mean, sometimes our lives and our works have been either ignored or pushed to the margin or minimized. And it's interesting to see now scholars and pundits analyzing this from a multiple point of view, letters to the editor, protests, vigils, prayer services, op-ed pieces, editorial pieces in some very influential newspapers, to see the international voice being heard from various quarters. So something huge is going on, and I believe that our work as sociologists in terms of analyzing hard data is an important contribution to that something right now.
So you describe yourself as a data-driven sociologist. But the Vatican reminded the American nuns in their statement that, quote, the teaching of the church calls for the religious submission of intellect and will. Are you offended by that, especially the submission of intellect part?
In the documents of the Second Vatican Council, and remember that that's the authoritative council until the day comes when we have another council, the council fathers called social scientists to put their service, their gift, at the service of the church for two reasons. One, for the internal self-understanding of the church, and two, for its external mission to the world. So places like CARA, other research institutes that do work for the church, all kinds of social sciences spend their days collecting data to give to church leadership and church membership so that wise decisions can be made. So since I've been in graduate school, that call of the council has been a call of my scholarly life.
Father Jim, do you think that nuns are quieter than bishops and maybe priests on issues of sexuality because the women tend to see things like contraception, maybe gay rights, maybe abortion rights, as women's rights compared to how men in the church see them?
No, I don't. I don't think that they're silent. I think that they just express their support for those things in different ways. I mean, you know, if you're a bishop, you can put out pastoral letters and you can preach. If you're a priest, you can preach from the pulpit. I think sisters do it more on the ground level. You know, they work with people in terms of, you know, the church's emphasis on the dignity of life. You know, and that includes, you know, from natural conception to natural death. They're working with children. They're working with the poor. They're working with people who are dying in hospitals. I mean, so many sisters are nurses and running hospitals. You know, the American Catholic Sisters essentially built the Catholic hospital system in the United States. So they're just speaking out, you know, on behalf of life with their lives, you know, and with their actions. You know, not so much, you know, in public statements. So we may not hear about them as much, but they are there, and they are there, you know, putting themselves on the line, you know, for those pro-life causes.
But Sister Mary, is part of speaking out for you to say to the church, you know, the church has changed before over the years and over the centuries on various things. Let's get on with it and have a new conversation about contraception or gay marriage or the ordination of women. Is that part of your message?
My particular scholarly work has focused on religious orders and young adults. So one piece that is significant that we have been talking about now for the last couple of months in many circles is some data that Sister Patricia Whitberg analyzed and wrote about in America Magazine, the Jesuit magazine, a couple of months ago. In that article, she argued that a significant number of young Catholic females are no longer practicing their faith. And she made the point that this has tremendous consequences for the future of the church. Now, those data are solid, and they have provoked a tremendous amount of conversation in many circles. So my analysis looks at generational issues vis-a-vis religious orders, and I think that That's why we've got to go deeply into these numbers to talk about to all members of the church and to the leaders of the church, what must we do to go forward to continue to have a vibrant, wonderful Catholic presence in the United States.
Father Jim, we just have 30 seconds left, but I think I hear her saying the future of the church is at stake, at least in this country, if it's seen as too out of touch. Are you saying that?
Well, I think the church always needs to be in touch. One of the great documents of the Second Vatican Council is the church in the modern world, not the church against the modern world or above the modern world, but in the modern world. So from the time of Jesus, all disciples were called to be in the modern world and help people in that world that God loved and created. So, yes, we need to be relevant.
My guests have been Sister Mary Johnson, who is also a professor of sociology and religious studies at Emmanuel College in Boston, and Jesuit priest James Martin, author of The Jesuit Guide to Almost Everything and Between Heaven and Mirth, Why Joy, Humor, and Laughter Are at the Heart of the Spiritual Life. Why are they, by the way?
Because Jesus was joyful, and his message is one of joy.
Father Jim, Sister Mary, thank you very much.
Thank you.